This is Comedy Potpourri. I'm Paul.
And I'm Alan.
And we had a little mistake there that we're back again, but you never saw us in the first place.
It was kind of quiet.
Quiet, really quiet.
I think somebody was scanning the fact that we were talking about this particular topic.
Oh, yeah. I think we were...
We were being jammed.
By the Russians. Oh, which brings... Never mind. That brings up a episode of Star Force.
Well...
The last one. I'm upset because they didn't continue that show.
They only did for two seasons on Netflix, from what I can see.
So we're going to talk about the United States Space Force.
Which is the reason that the TV show exists, because it was just ripe and rife with all kinds of issues to begin with. But... The Space Force, United States Space Force, is an actual branch of the military.
The sixth.
Sixth.
So right.
Let's go ahead and give the list of what the first five are.
Okay. Army, Navy, Air Force.
Marines. And U.S. Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, right. Oh, I didn't count. Really, I don't count four. They're part of the Navy.
Oh, ouch.
Okay, sorry out there. I'm an Army guy, and I used to get stopped. I worked on a Navy base. I got stopped every day by a Marine because I was in an Army car.
Oh, boo.
I know it was fun. It was fun for them.
A little bit of hazing going on there.
Oh, it was hazing. It was
definitely.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay.
Yeah. Especially in an Army car, and they go, please get out. We need to search your vehicle. I'm like, what the?
Really, dude? Come on.
Until I got hold of the Admiral.
Oh.
The Admiral said, you go through anytime you want to, Paul.
All right. All right. So the origins of Space Force go back... Actually, fairly far back from what I understand. Initially, the United States Space Force didn't become a national military branch until 2019, December 20th, is its anniversary. So it's been in the works for about, the last six years or so?
But however, when I was in the reserves, it first started out with the Strategic Air Command, and then it changed to the Air Force Space Command, and that's from 1982... to 2019, which is started up because of Reagan.
Yes. Now, as before, we were unduly blacked out, unfortunately. So, back in the 1980s, when Reagan took over office as the president, he had addressed the idea of doing a Star Wars initiative, or what he called Star Wars. It was the SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, or something like that. And basically, that was the idea of dealing with killer satellites, lasers, all that kind of stuff. And he was pushing forward for SDI because he felt that, kind of like Billy Mitchell said that during the First World War, if you have air superiority, you're going to win your war.
Right.
Well, I think Reagan took that a step further, because the moment that you get anybody into space, then you can target anybody from above and just lay waste to them. So if you're the first country out there that's got that floating sword of Damocles cruising across the skyline, oh, yeah, you're in control of everything.
Well, he was going to put, besides lasers, he was going to put, like, rockets on it, too, I think.
I think there was always talk about, like, a nuclear missile platform of some kind.
For a deterrent. Okay, this is how the world works. The world works, if you have something that is going to destroy me, I'm going to make something bigger. That's how the world works.
Assured destruction.
Yes. And then nobody will want destruction, so it won't happen.
Exactly. The doomsday machine.
Right.
I'm telling you.
By the way, the last 2 years, or last year, the doomsday's clock has gotten closer.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know, people don't know what that is, there's a clock that says how close we are to destruction.
How many minutes till midnight?
Yeah, how many minutes to midnight that would happen to destruction. So that's a doomsday's clock.
Yeah. It's also the one of the points of things for the Watchmen, for the TV show. That actually, Alan Moore had actually incorporated that into his story about how close we are to
right
mutual destruction at that time. Anyway,
back to Space
so
Force.
So the mission of U.S. Space Command is to conduct operations in, from, and to space, deter conflict, and if necessary, defeat aggression, deliver space combat power for the Joint Command Force, and defend U.S. vital interests with allies and partners. Well, it used to mean the European theater, but
the
who knows now?
The Department of Defense also says that it further defines the specifications for Space Force to provide freedom for operations of the United States in, from, and to space, to provide prompt and sustained space operations to protect the interests of the United States in space, deter aggression in and from to space, conduct space operations. There's even further ones that go a little further than that, but it's also like space superiority, global mission operations, and assured space access. As Paul's also mentioned, that it is a comes out, Space Force comes out of the Air Force Space Academy. And also, when we were just talking about Reagan, Reagan had also made an interesting comment, which I think directly relates to some of the other topics that we've talked about. When Reagan was addressing the UN, I think in 1982?
That's when he started.
Okay. Yeah. So in 1982, he delivers a speech to the group of people at the United Nations and talks about the idea if we were to be attacked from outside, like an actual alien invasion thing. He was actually positing this very question, that the whole world would come together as opposed to fighting each other constantly, which humanity just seems to do to itself all the time. It's like, hey, you want to arm wrestle? I mean, it's that ingrained.
Yes.
It's like, want a thumb war? No. It was weird that the way that this came out at the same time that he puts SDI out there, it morphs into this, and there's a number of groups that have already got their stuff. They are, the military operation for like Air Force, Army, Marines, Navy, have already got some aspects of each one of these involved with space deterrency of from outside, whether it be from a domestic adversary, anybody overseas, or from outside. Exactly right.
We talked about this too before, is that Reagan saw UFOs.
Yeah.
Carter saw UFOs. Eisenhower had problems at night. Well, they were over the
1952 in Washington, D.C., when the whole place was being buzzed by
right.
a bunch.
And then there's a couple other presidents that they actually saw. Did Clinton see one?
I think he was going to try to open it up. They said no. Somebody that was in office but wasn't at the time was a director of the CIA.
Oh, Bush.
Bingo.
Yeah.
George knew some stuff that he told Carter, you don't need to know.
Yeah, this is Bush 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bush 1 versus Bush 2.
Bush 1, Bush 2.
Oh!
Yeah. One needs to shave.
This finger does the massage. This one does the dirty work. I'm going to let you guys think about that one for a second. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I got to tell you, this is kind of what was brought up from the chief of staff.
Okay.
The reason is simple why they, for the great power competition, this is what it's called. So the GPC, great power competition, is all about this stuff. It's the whole reason why we have all this stuff. And the reason is simple. We must be ready for war. First State of the Union, Washington said, to be prepared for war is one of the most influential means of preserving peace. But that which has made us ready for the counter-VEO wars of the last two decades will not be ready for the challenge of great power competition.
Always.
I don't like the sounds of that, but that's human nature.
Always prepare for the worst, and hope for the best.
Right.
I think that's kind of the way that comes across, and I could totally see that happening for sure.
So it's very interesting how this U.S. Space Force is actually combined of all this, the branches of the service, because they have combat unit. They're putting combat units in this.
Correct.
Which is kind of weird. And then they have recovery units, which I understand, too, that they're going to have recovery units.
Now, we've talked a little
bit
about
that. Yes.
Just recently, especially with the latest reveals recently of some of the whistleblowers that have come through from that are independent contractors for the military, not necessarily military per se, but they have the background of it. Again, it's kind of like...
I would say they have the backing.
Probably private backing for certain these crash retrieval programs or legacy programs.
Programs.
Which I think is kind of a weird terminology, but I you know what? I don't understand the military mindset.
Well, every time they name an operation, how'd they get that?
They flip a coin. Or if you're a nerd, you'd roll a 20-sided die and see what comes up. Oh, you got a critical hit.
Well, I
that's Operation
you,
Hit.
Whoever made U.S. Space Command was a nerd.
Probably was. Because the whole thing is so rife with complexities. Now, in 19, when... We'll mention people here. So, when Trump was put in charge the first time as the president, nobody thought that he would ever get it. But, of course, he did. And this was one of the things that he strove for was an actual United States Space Force. Now, people in Hollywood have never run the same way. They always run very counter to the way that stuff is run from the Washington Beltway. And so they said, you know what? This is too good. We just got to run with this. We're going to make a show out of this. And they did. And they actually had... They don't say anybody by name specifically except POTUS.
Yeah.
And so they use him as kind of the reason why Space Force, at least in the TV show, exists. And they talk about where they're going to station it at. And it's just like...
Well, in the TV show, no, it was Congress who did it because the president didn't want it.
Oh.
Like he asked for a raise. And then in the last one, they got a raise, and he goes, oh, it's nice to have a win. And he goes, yeah, I lost my bet. The president said it.
Whoopsie. All right.
One of the things about this is the cool thing about the whole thing, is that they have all the branches, and they have commercial companies working with them. It came out that the Air Force is sending stuff up now.
Right.
That we don't know about. They got the little mini, what you call it, shuttle.
Okay.
Excuse me. The mini shuttle that they're sending up on secret missions all the time. Come out, they're all suited up and have to look at this because I think isn't there still plasma or some kind of something that's harmful?
Well, it's because it's flying in, I won't say suborbital, but the X-37B... has flown for an entire year collecting data.
Right.
For one, it's been exposed to vast volumes of different kinds of radiation. I guess it's high. I don't know if it flies higher than where the ISS is.
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay.
It's on the outer ring.
So it is probably being exposed to just shit tons of fucking radiation and all kinds of stuff. So you would have to approach it very carefully in a radiation suit because it's been exposed to that. I'm sure that the instrumentation on board the ship, because it's military, has probably a lot of extra, packing around it to keep all the sensitive instrumentation from getting irradiated blown out.
Plus, it can carry payloads.
Yes.
One of the things I talk about the Earth is like satellites. There's actually three rings. There's the right above space starts. A little bit above.
Okay.
And they have satellites in there, right? Not high satellites, whatever, And you go about further is basically where
you got your stratosphere, you've got your ionosphere,
right.
And you got your magnetosphere.
Right. But this is the third. The second one is where the space station is at.
It's somewhat protected by the magnetic, the magnetosphere, I believe.
Right. That's,
I mean, they can see when in the Van Allen radiation belt, they can see the solar wind and all the charged particles that make the aurora borealis right. and the aurora australis.
Yes,
I think that's what it's called. For both sides of the Earth, and they're in that one some protected thing because, unfortunately, our astronauts would have gotten cooked big time. I don't know if they have the same kind of protection that, like, the astronauts had when Aldrin and Armstrong and Collins went to the moon initially.
Right.
Because when they left Earth, they left all that protection behind.
By the way, there is pictures of the moon right now on the moon. They did land the lander, and there is pictures up on the internet now.
Okay.
If you want to look what they're seeing. Looks a little bit different to me. They're more in a hilly type of area, which is weird. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I did hear that NASA did do touch-ups to their photos to make it look a little more alien. I've actually heard of some of the photos for Mars is similar. If you take a look at the more current stuff, it looks like you could just walk outside. Is the sky look a little weird? Yeah, it's got kind of a subtly tan, rusty color. There is actually kind of a little bit of a blue tint there.
Yeah.
So there is an atmosphere there, but it's not enough to support any kind of life.
The other one that for U.S. Space Command, I have to say, is that we were behind.
Yes.
China is way ahead of us. Russia had some stuff up there. I mean, China's on the dark side of the moon.
Yep.
Listen to Pink Floyd.
I wonder how well that goes over.
Pink Floyd is universal.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to figure it out there.
I wonder what they. I'm just thinking of what kind of pot they would have.
Ooh. They probably got some good strains of it up there. You know, the Chinese did send some plants up there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. They actually were growing for a little while, and then apparently there was a crack in the casing or something like that, and the plants died.
Well, we sent something up there we didn't mean to send up, and then there's this little micro bugs, and they're living on the moon.
On the
ground.
On the surface of the moon.
Yeah. They're really small.
Fantastic.
It's kind of what we started out as.
So we're sending bugs up to deal with the lizard people inside the moon. Sorry, guys. We were making sure you can't take our souls anymore.
Well, maybe without air and stuff, they grow big.
Big worms. Big surprises. I love it. Okay, so yeah, there's a little bit that talks about the shifting of the United States from space initially. So like we have 1982, but there's a big gap. And a good majority of the reason why this happened was because of counterterrorism, because of the September 11th attacks.
Right.
And so the focus moved from outside of the Earth to dealing with more attacks on the country itself. And so a lot of the focus went to counterterrorism. And this leads to a gap where the Chinese have taken advantage of that.
Oh, they have definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and so we're trying to play catch up. Unfortunately, we've been playing catch up ever since, but everything that I ever order online is made in China.
Did we talk yet the claw?
Oh.
So this is on the news. They were talking about this. So Russia, to see what they could do, they had set up a satellite to shoot down one of their own satellites.
Yes.
So they have the capability of shooting down satellites.
It actually caused some problems because it was in a potential dangerous spot for debris to hit the ISS.
Right.
And if you watch the movie Gravity, that's exactly what they play off of in that particular movie, that they're blowing up their own satellites. And it sends all this debris flying around like a bunch of tiny little bullets around the Earth that can't be necessarily tracked by radar because the bits are so tiny.
Yeah, they said they're really small, and they're like the size of a dime.
Yeah.
And for how fast they're moving around, that can just like
shred it,
just go right through it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And if you watch that movie at the beginning and see what happens to that space shuttle, it shows it. I think it actually depicts it pretty well, that the space shuttle that's sent up there with Clooney and Sandra Bullock shows the shuttle just get shredded. Yeah. And they managed to barely survive being hit by all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like, good Lord, man.
Oh, by the way, a lot of people don't know this either. China has their own space station up there.
There is one space station that did I don't want to say it badly, but it's, I think, like Chang'e 1 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's up there.
They actually have their own up there.
They have their own space station up there. And I think after Skylab had come down in 78, 79.
Oh, yeah. Skylab.
That was a big deal at the time.
Especially when part of it hit the ground.
There was talk about them sending up. I had seen some artist depictions that are going to send up a space shuttle to see if they could actually boost it back up into the back up into orbit.
Oh wow!
But I mean that it never materialized. This is stuff I was seeing back in 79.
So the Russians have these little things that shoot, and then we send all these. Everybody sends these different satellites up there. Some are the size of a shoebox, maybe a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
And they have special things they do. There's some that are big as a Tesla.
I thought that got shot off into space.
No, it came back. It was back in orbit for a while again or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it went around Mars or something, or one of the moons came back, and it's slingshotting back out again and stuff, yeah.
The spaceman's out there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, my secret thing for what Space Command's doing with the Air Force... They're going up to the Black Knight.
Oh, the Black Knight satellite, see if they could actually get it?
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Well, they said anything time they get near it, things black out.
Oh, surprise. This is not a satellite you want to be messing with, guys. It's been there for, well...
Centuries. Yes. So people don't know about that. So there's a satellite that's up there that is going around the Earth... And they call it the Black Knight because it's black.
Yep.
Right? And it has certain abilities to do things to spacecraft and to other things.
And it travels in a different kind of an orbit than most satellites naturally follow. It goes through a polar orbit, I believe.
It does.
Yeah. And so that by itself is really ironic, and it's been tracked since the... early 50s, I believe, by the Brits, I think. That's actually how it got its name.
Black Knight.
The Black Knight.
Which is a great comic.
He's an interesting character.
Yes. Sorry, that is...
But I'm not talking like the Black Knight out of the Holy Grail, okay?
No.
Come on, it's just a flesh wound. I'm actually going to do that as a piece
Holy
of work.
Grail.
It's just a flesh wound.
Come back. I can still bite you.
Yeah. Come back here, you pansy. Anyways.
So, I want to call them cadets, but you can't call them cadets anymore. And they are going through the school. Like I said, it's very intense. They're taught by people with master's degrees. It's not your regular schooling. I mean, this is very intense. And because, again, the younger generation knows about technology, they can understand it better, and that's what they're using it for. We are going to talk about the correlation of U.S. Space Command to our friends on TV.
Okay.
And not the show Space Force, but our other friends.
Oh.
Just
oh,
like
yes.
this friend right here.
Okay. Yeah, we have to talk about that particular elephant in the room.
The Delta.
Okay. Ever since the initial idea that Space Force was going to be an actual military service, I started taking a look at what kind of uniform are they going to wear? What kind of insignias are they going to have, right? And then it was released. It's like, Are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry to say it, but it's like, I'm a big Star Trek Trekkie, and the first thing that you see for their emblem is a flying Delta that looks like straight off a Kirk uniform. And it's like, really? You're just going to rip off pop culture. Nice call, guys. Now,
that's not the only stuff.
No. Oh, I got it right here. So there's talk about that there is definitely comparisons between the Colonial Fleet uniforms from Battlestar Galactica or the Starfleet uniforms from the Star Trek movies that seem to be epitomized by the uniforms that Space Force happens to wear,
right,
especially with the buttons on the
side. Six, which means all the different services.
Branch, right? Well, it looks almost like one of the Colonial uniforms that Adama wears on the Battlestar.
Well, it also looks like British ship.
Okay.
Okay, we're talking about 1800s. They had the same thing.
Okay,
yeah. The lieutenants and everything. Okay, what happened is you take the lapel and it goes over to your right side, up to your shoulder, and you button it down at an angle. And this is what it would look like. Wow. I mean,
The correlation between the shows that have already been out there and then the correlation of this flying Delta just made it a laughingstock for a lot of people. It's like, what are you doing? You're ripping stuff off. We haven't even got to one of the better parts.
No, we haven't yet.
I'm going to let you talk about that one.
Wait a minute. So I'm going to go to the music. So I went on and there's a 3-minute, I'd say 3 minutes of this, their song, right? And so it builds up and it sounds like the beginning of a movie. You know how movies have that really strong get up and then the orchestra builds up to the crescendo, thank you, gets up and then they sing the bars, right? And I'm like going, what in the world is going on here? Very dramatic, not something that I'm used to when I was in the service. I mean, the songs for the military and the songs that you sing, just like the Navy, you know, the Marines and stuff and the Army. I mean, it was meant something to us when we sang. I don't think these guys could sing this song.
It's weird. It's a weird song.
It is.
If you listen to it, if you pull it up, I only listened to a snippet of it. I had a shorter version of it that I was listening to today. And it's like, this is part of the military service?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to knock it. Really, I'm not. But the song, it sounds weird to me. It just sounds off. It just sounds off. Now, Paul pointed this point out to me. Go. You were telling me about all the other services are what? When you're with the songs. They're all in public domain.
Public domain, yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so I go in and I'm going, okay, I want to use this for our show. And it says, private use only, and then not for commercial use. And I'm thinking, what? How can it not be for commercial use? You have to get the release of the license. License? You have to pay for the license.
We as public taxpayers already pay for these guys, so why would you be taxing us yet again twice for a song that should be in public domain, just like the other branches are?
You can download the Marine song, the Navy song, Air Force, Army, I can't forget the Army, and even the Coast Guard. But when you come down, and they can use it, anybody can use it for any show, what they want to do, anything, right?
Correct.
But when it comes to this, I'm going, whoa, you need a release.
Who's getting the kickback on this one? Who wrote that song?
That's a good question. And if they did, it's supposed to be for government owned.
Which is weird. It's just like, why are you privatizing something that is a public service? I mean, it's a branch that is supposed to protect the public and the citizenry of the United States.
Which is, hey dudes and dudettes. You want that out there so people can hear it and going, oh, okay. But if you're going to make it so it can't be on commercial use, it's not going to be out there.
No.
Now we get to compare it to something else.
Okay.
There's a little show that was made.
So we've already pointed out that it has this tendency to pigeonhole or seems to run parallel. Nobody in the government was like, yeah, we could fudge this a little bit. Don't worry about the uniforms. Don't worry about that insignia. Yeah, it's coincidence. Really? That Delta, in some form, has been in every variation of any kind of space organization, whether it be private or otherwise. Bigelow Aerospace. Take a look at that. That's one.
Boeing
is another one. Look at ESA for the European Space Agency. They have a Delta in there. Japanese have a Delta in theirs. Yeah. The Russians do.
Yeah. And which is probably the universal sign.
It's a universal sign for going above and beyond. Which was a good show, by the way. I like that show. But we'll talk about that later. But it's like the Delta was so clearly taken.
But, I mean, there's a point where you use the Delta and then all you can look at it going, oh, Star Trek. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kind of think, was this all made up by some nerd? Excuse me, we are nerds, okay? You know.
I wish I could take credit for that one.
So what happened is this guy in the military working for the government is Trekkie. You're going, this would be cool.
I have a comic book character named Johnny Vega, and they have their own kind of pendant, but it's actually supposed to symbolize it as it's a downsize pendant or delta with a big oval head around the top of it to represent the actual head of any individual.
Right.
And it's supposed to represent all species out in space. Anyway,
so the head of this is a general.
Right.
And James, Jim, Dickerson.
Jim Dickerson.
Damn general. It, Jim.
I got nothing.
Should have changed his name to Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Kirk! But if you take a look at the operations, the way this is set up, there's a number of different stuff in the organization. It looks like it's split up into... Oh, unfortunately, this one's for Department of Defense. Has it
segregated into different forces. So there's the people. Ready?
Okay.
And it's supposed to be readiness, capability development, and project projection. Superiority, that was 1990 to 2019 is what we just said. And 2019 on, it is the people, which is space professionals, that have a broad operational skills, right? And then readiness, which is more of the assets like radar, other things like that. By the way, they're talking about radar. Elizondo said that they can actually find a size of a softball. One of them said on this that they can find something that's a foot and a half.
Yeah.
That's radar. Remember, foot and a half. And this is on the ground, you know, or up in space. So capability development, actually to go where, if we're attacked, to know what abilities that other people have and also to help stop those. And then power projection, which is like, what do we have to destroy everybody? Which is, yeah. So there's some things, too, about what they have is like, they have different other things. Like they have the combat one that's part of it. They have a recovery part of it. They have a space. Space Command actually has a space program that basically NASA's not part of. Might be a little bit part of it, but all the other, like probably Bigelow, Musk is probably part of it. What was the one we just talked about? Bezos?
Bezos and the
Blue Origin. He just landed his...
His Shepard 2 recoverable booster. So you're tying in a bunch of private aerospace to fund some of this military stuff that's going up and down.
Right.
I'm sure that there's a lot of cross-pollination going on here. It also, there's a lot of other organizations that tie into Space Force. But first, before I get into that one, I want to talk about where the potential bases are. There's a couple of them, and some of them make sense because they're actually Air Force related material. So there's always going to be a lot of cross pollination between the Air Force and Space Force. Vandenberg,
yeah,
Air Force Base. Of course. There's another one in Boston in Cape Cod. There's Patrick Air Force Base near Cape Canaveral.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay,
yeah.
There's another one in North Dakota called Cavalier Space Force.
There is North Dakota. There is a large amount of
now
space. Missile bases. I hate to say that, but there's
okay.
Yeah.
Well, and there's several, and actually, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of Space Force crossover in and around Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado Springs.
Of course.
I mean, because that's where they have their Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. The Air Force Space Force was there as well.
Right.
And so you have a lot of stuff right around that general area. And that's like central. I mean, I was just waiting to, you know, watch Stargate or SG-1 or something like that and see Colonel, you know, McNeil pop out there someplace or something like that. It's like, hey, Jack, how's it going?
Then they have one in Cal. What's the California one?
Yep. And then there are some other ones, which is in Alaska. There is a Space Force base in Greenland.
Oh.
And then there's another one on Maui.
When I was there, it was no longer, there's high security. You used to be able to go up to the observatory, and it became high security when we got there.
Oh, for the observatory up at the top of Maui?
Yeah. I wonder who has that now.
Oh, you know who's got that one.
Junior spaceman?
Mm-hmm. Had to be said. Okay. So those are some of the bases. There's other departments that are associated or relationships with other space organizations.
Right.
Now, the first and foremost, we've already talked about the Air Force, obviously. That's
a gimme.
It's its parent, basically parent organization. But now we have the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA, that is usually comprised of both Navy and
Air Force
pilots.
Right.
Either retired or still...
And Marines.
Sorry, I don't want to put those guys out there. Love you guys. Rock on.
Because of...
Semper Fi.
Some of the first guys that went up?
Yep.
They were Marines.
Somewhat of a military structure to set up to NASA. There always has been.
Yeah.
So NASA's one of them. Then we have the NRO. Yeah, that look on your face is awesome. National Reconnaissance Office, or NRO, the Department of Defense. It's connected to this as well. And mainly because of their ties with the Air Force. So, again, it's kind of a backdoor situation. I don't know that much about the NRO other than just the name and it being one of those things that they constantly talk about in the Illuminati or something like that. Okay. Then you have NOAA.
Just like you said, they go through the back door.
There's a couple songs about that. I think The Doors or Led Zeppelin has a couple of those tunes. I'll be your back door, man. NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Well, that makes sense, too, because they're up in space. They can help with the satellites. They can pretty much protect it. You know, a lot of this is to protect satellites, and our space capability is what the Space Force is going to be about. Also going into space and being 1991?
Yeah.
The show? Where they're on the space, on the moon?
Oh, Space 1999.
Yeah, Space 1999. Yeah.
Oh, one of my favorites.
That's going to be basically what we're talking about. That would be the U.S. Space Force there. Yeah.
Actually, it would be. I don't want to go off topic.
Yeah.
So I'll save it for later.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to that. So you have the NOAA. And I think that's about it. But there's other ties with some other things that deal with the CIA has been mentioned a little bit as well with the military intelligence aspect of Space Force.
Wait a minute.
I said it. Just go with it. Just go with it. I know. You shouldn't be using those two words together. But
for you in the military, I hope you're laughing at that.
Yeah. Well, look, there's specialty badges that they have for space operations, intelligence, cyberspace operations, and acquisitions.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah. Astronauts, space operational officers, and so on like that. Intelligence officers. All source intelligence analysts, geospatial intelligence analysts, signals and intelligence analysts, fusion, which is kind of interesting. It's like that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a targeting analyst.
Oh, wow.
So there's a bunch with that. And yeah. then you have cyberspace operations. And then there's aeronautical engineers.
Oh, that one's, yeah.
Then there's the 62 EXB-astronautical engineer. And there's a bunch of listings for different projects.
Now, those are the things that go up into space.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you looked at the rank?
I did take a look at some of the ranking. I didn't get them all.
It's kind of the same as the Air Force, except the way they changed it. In the early 1950s, before the 50s, one of the commanding generals of the Air Force didn't like that the chevrons went down on enlisted, what they call enlisted men.
Oh, yeah.
So he decided he liked the straight ones because you can tell, right? Then when you get to sergeant, it changes. Well, they did that for a while, and then the other commanding officer came in and liked it the other way. And so now Space Command has... It's not the same as the Air Force. It's straight down. They come straight down. And it has the symbol on it. So.
Okay.
That's for the sergeants.
Oh,
but for the enlisted man, they're straight with the insignia in the middle, the delta. And it goes 1, 2, and 3 stripes. And then it goes to sergeants.
Right here, this is the service. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's your generals.
Yeah, you got your general set up enlisted. Let me see if I can find
general.
It.
Wait a minute. That's right. Here we go.
Oh, like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
General nuisance.
Terrible.
Colonel Bird. Major problem.
Oh. So there's different listings for the way that the chevrons go over and under.
Yeah, it's really different. See, this is what I'm saying, the straight ones.
Straight across. And then as soon as you get to a sergeant, then it goes into a downward version of a delta.
Right.
And then once you get up to a technical sergeant or a master sergeant, then it starts going more as a rising kind of bow.
These three what do you call it, stripes on top, curved stripes, those are the three rings around the Earth, the different stages.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that would make sense of those different atmospheric kind of things we were just talking about.
And you see the deltas going through it like a spaceship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still see Star Trek there.
Yeah, so do I.
I'm not gonna lie. Every time I look at it, I'm like thinking, where's...
It's like the Academy.
Where's Captain Archer? Where's the NX-01? But, yeah, there's a number of different things. And of course,
oh, I do have to tell you this.
Yeah.
This is a great story. My son was in ROTC, mm-hmm. Air Force ROTC, in Oregon State.
Okay.
You know what his captain's name was?
What?
Kirk.
No.
Yes.
Captain Kirk. Oh, I hope that guy's first name is Jim or started with a J, and his middle name is Tiberius.
I was like, can I meet your captain?
There are some things, but they also, there was a little bit of history as far as like the involvement that Space Force has actually been part of, which I found kind of interesting. But different spacecraft that they're in charge of.
Oh, there's a lot of spacecraft they're in charge of.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of.
They're in charge of a lot of the satellites.
Geosynchronous electro-optical infrared weather system.
Oh, that's what I want to tell you. They also showed... They let him go into a top secret area.
Okay.
And they have an area, just like you see on TV, where they're all sitting there, you know, and the big screens are and stuff, they're going there. But mostly it's on their screen. And they're controlling the satellites.
So there's like drone satellites, basically.
Yeah, but there's other satellites. I mean, all the military satellites set up and commercial.
Okay.
So they are, and then another one, they do that where they come, whatever they command. And the other one is that they track all the satellites. Well, I mean, that's a lot of satellites to track up there.
There's a ton of them up there.
Yes, there's tons. Thank you. Thank you, Elon.
I mean, there's literally global positioning.
You know what he's
GPS.
Doing. He's going to make a big circle and encase the Earth.
I'm waiting for him to get to Mars.
So am I.
I think everybody is. Yeah. I'm not going to go any
with that accent, I think he is Martian.
He's an alien.
He is an alien.
It probably is a lizard person on top of it, or has a mix of that in there.
So. Yes, he is.
But all these, like, launch vehicles.
Yeah.
I mean, got the Atlas V, Electron, Falcon 9, Falcon Heavy, Pegasus. I haven't heard of that one. That's by Northrop Grumman. Then there's the operational budgets.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. It's a lot of money.
Is that billion?
Take a look at that.
Okay.
They haven't announced it yet, at least for 24.
24. Wow. They haven't totaled that out yet, have they? Wow. So 2023 was $26,289,848,000 budget.
That's our budget.
That's just for Space Force. And you know what? For 13,000 people. Mm-hmm. You know, that bolt that cost $3,000.
A lot of that went into the uniform and the insignia. There's a reason why that song is trademarked. They need to pay back part of the budget. They went over budget, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, God. That's funny. Wow, that's a big budget. Well, actually, if you think about military.
It covers a lot because there's a lot with anything with high technology. High technology.
Right.
So how many times did, let's just say, how many times did Muskie send up his rocket? How many times to test it out before it would explode or something like that?
Yeah.
How much of that?
Yeah.
Is test for R&D.
Right.
You know? And I'm betting that a lot of the stuff that Space Force is in charge of has a lot of R&D that's involved with it. And because also you have private contractors, they're going to drive the price up as well.
Right.
I can see the reason why the budget's so high on that.
Somebody compared NASA to Elon, right?
Yeah.
And what they said that he's making the risk. He's taking all the risk. And he's developing by mistakes, where NASA tries not to make any mistakes, and they try to take it real slow and corrective, and they end up getting behind. If you look where all those mistakes he made incorrect, he's actually above NASA right now.
Actually, he is. During the space race, when Kennedy had put that out there initially, right, to have a man land on the moon by the end of the decade or whatever, right? And they did. But they had to take risks on a lot of that stuff. I mean, even the space shuttles was doing that as well. How many shuttles went up there with that faulty O-ring on those boosters?
Oh, my God.
Before we had the accident in 86
with
the Challenger.
We've had two. I didn't realize. We had two that exploded. Yeah.
Yeah, Challenger was the first one. The other one was the Columbia.
Columbia.
When it was coming back into the atmosphere, and there had ripped a hole in the bottom of the wing, and it got superheated, and it started causing the pitch of the shuttle to have to invert somehow, and then that would burn up, and then that just, you know, parts of stuff were being found all over.
They said it was actually just peeling off as they were coming down. Yeah.
It sucked. It really did. I mean, during that time, when I had heard about it, when I was working in a movie theater at the time, and one of the movies that had a space shuttle that was having an issue was called The Core.
Yes.
And we had to take that trailer out immediately because of being sensitive to the general public. It's like, we just lost a space shuttle. And it's the same true with the very first Spider-Man movie. Remember, the original trailer had Spider-Man have an actual helicopter pinned between the two towers.
Right.
Well, they had to take that
one.
They had to take that out because it was insensitive to have that running. So Sony had to come up with a new branding.
There was another one that came out that was supposed to be a terrorist movie, and they couldn't bring it out. Oh, it was Schwarzenegger's movie because it was terrorists blowing stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to, like, okay, that's it. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that just didn't come out because of that. But, oh, my God, think of that, you know, if you had watching that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you sometimes real life influences the way that pop culture is going to react in some ways. In the case of Space Force, the show has taken it in a different degree. So they said, boots on the moon.
Yes. Boots on the moon, yes.
Now, I have to admit, I like the cast of the show. I'm only going to talk about the show just a little bit.
Yeah.
I've only gotten into a couple episodes of it. I watched the first season, never got a chance to see the second season per se. But when you shoot animals up into space, you shouldn't shoot up a chimp and a dog at the same time. It's just a bad idea.
Well, they were playing okay for a while.
They were playing until the foodstuffs went dry.
Yeah. Then what happened?
You're telling me that he ate the dog?
The chimp ate the dog?
Cannibalism. Is it really cannibalism?
No.
I think they were talking about this. Like, what constitutes cannibalism? It's like, does it matter? They're both servicemen. It's just kind of nuts.
That show, again, it was showed for 2 seasons on Netflix. It's on Netflix right now. It has Malkovich in it.
John Malkovich plays the lead scientist. And Steve Carell plays the general on the base.
Right.
Has Lisa Kudrow playing his wife, but she's incarcerated.
She's incarcerated. That's right.
Because apparently she didn't want to be stuck in that place.
No.
Or something like that. I have to watch some more of it.
Yeah.
But it's a hilarious show. It takes a lot of the weird nuanced stuff that we were just talking about and takes it out of context and makes it its own thing. But the fact that they call the show Space Force, I'm sure causes these guys nothing but grief.
Oh.
They just want it to go away.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah. It's because if you look at the blue is exact blue of their uniforms.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's Air Force blue and then there's what they call US Space Force blue. And it's a really, really dark blue. I mean, you know.
Like you're reaching the outer edges of the atmosphere.
That's right.
Because you're so high up.
Then his assistant is, imagine, a radar and trying to think who else. The guy from Taxi. No.
Nope.
Lloyd? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Iggy, what are you doing?
I'm doing what I was told to do there, boss.
Jim Ignatowski. I love that character.
But it's the characters are developed very well in that show.
Yeah.
I think they were cut off by the government and said, no, you can't do this anymore.
You can't be disparaging us like that.
But at the very end of the last episode, there's a satellite coming towards Earth. And it was supposed to be that one show, like, they know the moon's coming down on them.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And that's it. That's how it ends.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it really needed to finish it off. And it was only 7 shows.
All right, so I'm going to finish this off, and we'll have a follow-up on Space Force, the TV show. And we'll cover a little bit more about that. At least that's what I'm going to go for. Oh, let's see here. There's some... Also see National Security Space Launch. Air and Space Forces Association, Militarization of Space... which they're not supposed to be.
No.
A list of Space Forces units and formations. Space Force Association, Starlink in Russo-Ukrainian War.
You know, oh, okay, I got to tell you this. There was a thing that was written up that had the Ukraine involved in it, that they could not make nuclear weapons. Because what they're afraid of, that they'd be stronger than Russia, be a nuclear threat.
Is that the reason why, I'm just going to say it, so Putin was basically saying, if you, well, I'll push the button. There are references that I'll mention here. So there are frequently asked questions or facts for U.S. Space Force at https://www.spaceforce.com/fact/FAQ. And frequently asked questions for that. And then there was also a listing of some other stuff here. But I think the facts sheet would probably be the best way to
right.
get any other.
I like the last one. Women in the United States Space Force. Of course there's women in the Space Force.
Come on. Come on.
Come on. We need more women engineers.
We need more women in all branches of service.
Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately.
You're still having to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it has to do with when I was in the service, they would send the women to Germany because there wasn't enough women over there in the service.
That's weird.
So, yeah. I mean, I asked for Guam. You know, send me any place. Send me to Guam. I don't care. I got Fort Stevens.
Oh, man.
No, not Fort Stevens. I got Fort Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Which is now Fort Lewis McChord.
Yeah.
It's a combined base.
Is it a combination of...
Air Force and Army.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting place, yeah.
I'm sure it is.
And I got stationed on a Navy... from there, I got put on a Navy base doing stuff for the Navy while I'm in the Army.
How does that work? Okay. There's some cross-pollination going on.
Oh,
here.
There is, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, military is, like I said, when they said military intelligence, I go, what?
I'd be doing the same thing. Anyway, so there you go with a moderately brief rundown on that particular branch. There are some questionable things about it.
Well, my budget. What?
There's some questionable things about it, at least as far as the facade of it is concerned. But the background is sound as far as anything else goes, because it's taken in combining a lot of the services that had aerospace stuff and putting it under one branch.
It's, how should I explain it? It's like the CIA got involved in their decision to bring it out. Mm-hmm. That we were, you know, like, we're doing all this stuff, and then they have all the background, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just going, whoa, where they should just come out and just say everything. But what's going to happen with this is that this part of the service, you're going to find, is going to be full. It's going to get huge.
See, do you think that they have anything to do with the drones by chance? I'm just going to throw that out
there. They could. They could have, yeah.
Because, again, like I said before, it's like, I'm just saying from personal opinion.
Right.
I don't buy the FAA.
Either do I.
I think that's a bunch of BIS. That's what I call it.
Because they could have found out where they go.
Exactly. So, I'm thinking that... Perhaps, maybe, if you've got a system, as Elizondo has already pointed out, that's the size of a baseball?
Yeah.
I'm sure that if you were to... Space Force, if you're listening, get out there and figure out where these drones are coming from. Or, if better yet, if you're actually in charge of them, then you can shame the FAA. Shame. Shame them. Just do it. Anyway...
Well, what I understand, too, is I think it's, if it is them, I think it's great. For the simple reason is that what I understand is that, again, this is my, I read stuff and it's like, what I shouldn't be reading because it puts me in a state of like, oh,
This is an opinion piece by Paul Gibson.
Well, now the Russians have built more subs, and they're talking about there's still subs on the East Coast, and they just kind of sit there, and, you know, like they've always done. But I understand
they've always done it because they're always probing to see how far they can do before they do a crazy Ivan on somebody.
You said probe.
I did.
So this is going to be about it right now. Do you want to talk about anything else? Do you want to talk more about the show or anything? Or
no.
Okay. So this is Paul.
And this is Alan.
This is Comedy Potpourri. And please. Go on our website and send us an email of what you want to hear or comments. Any comments is fine. You know, doesn't mean that I'm going to answer it. No.
I might say something and say, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, we'll answer. If you have a problem with something, we can or correct it or something. Yeah, no problem. So, again, this is Paul.
And this is Alan.
And this is Comedy Potpourri. Bye.
Bye.
Ukulele music brought to you by Lahaina Music. Island of